Last week, Jesus is at the same dinner, and we saw Jesus teach two things to the people that were gathered there. What was the first thing of the two things he taught last week? I know this is a hard part right here, okay? What was the first thing Jesus taught last week as people were coming in and taking their place at the party? Jackie? Take the low seat, right? Take the low seat. Like he was saying, don't, everyone wants to get the best seats in the house for themselves, but take the lower seat and let someone else have a good seat. And he gave reasons why doing that could cause you to be humbled or honored, depending on what you choose to do. But he says, let someone else have the better seat. And he even added this. He said, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. And he said, be humble. And we said that servant has a servant's mindset. Humility, we said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less and thinking of others more. Good answer. Okay, Jackie, cookies and cream or cookies and caramel? Caramel it is. Okay, by the way, I'm not endorsing these. I'm not paid by them. But I will say, Bear Bell protein bars where taste and nutrition meet. Okay, yeah. All right, there you go. I got another one here. What's the second thing that Jesus taught the audience last week that were gathered with him? Anybody else? He taught one more thing. Hear him? Yes, but that was also the first one, so I'm going to go a little deeper than that. Ethan? Exactly. Don't just invite the rich people. Invite everyone. He says that when you have parties, you tend to invite your family, your friends, and your rich neighbors, people who can do something for you in return. What's in it for me? Jesus says, why don't you have parties once in a while where you invite those who get overlooked, the blind, the poor, the crippled, the lame, that no one ever invites, and bring them in. Because no one ever invites them because they can't return the favor. And they're a lot of work. But God said, if you do it, God will repay you. And we're always asking what's in it for me, but he was teaching that sometimes it's about being good for nothing, right? It's about doing for somebody else and letting God reward us. So that's a good answer. And you get the last one, cookies and cream, Ethan. Here you go. Confident. Trust. Carly's like, nah. Anyone want an empty box? Oliver wants an, I saw Oliver first. He wants an empty box. I may have another one from the, here, I got two of them. I'll give you one too. These are good for storing junk. Here's last service's box. There you go. Good job, everybody. Well, we have one more story today of Jesus at this party, at this dinner. And then we'll move on to new territory next week. Ready? Luke 14, verse 15 says this. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. So I'm picturing they're sitting there eating, and maybe Jesus is teaching, or maybe they're just eating and they're getting ready for dessert. And somebody is so excited. They're thinking about this future day, this day when they will be able to. When they will be able to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. What a day that will be. And they exclaim it out loud from the abundance of their heart. And Jesus sees an opportunity to tell a group of people who were religious, who felt they were God's people, I'm going to tell you a story. And I'm going to tell you the story today as well. I'm going to tell you all right now at Lighthouse Church. I'm going to ask you right now at the end of our time, during quiet time today, I'm going to invite you to make a decision. We'll mention a couple things. And I'm going to invite some of us to raise our hands in response to a couple things we're going to say today. And so be thinking about that now. Our heads will be bowed, our eyes will be closed at the end, and it'll be your chance to raise your hand if God is speaking to your heart about one of two things. And if he is, I hope that you'll respond. But I want to put that in your minds right now. It'll be a little different. But Jesus is going to tell a parable right now. He's going to tell a parable or a story that illustrates something about the kingdom of God that they can relate to from everyday life. Let's read the story together. Verse number 16 says, Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and he sent out many invitations. The first thing we notice is this man is wealthy. He can throw not just a feast, a great feast. He has the property, the money, the means to pull it off. He's paying for it all. The people invited just have to show up. It's his expense. He's throwing a great feast. Maybe there's a great special occasion for the feast. He's throwing this feast and he's invited a lot of people. Verse number 17 says, when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. Now, I don't know why he didn't RSVP, you know, just tell us, you know, come at this time or whatever. But I think what it was possibly without all the technology and refrigeration and details. Maybe, you know, you're like, it's going to be roughly at this time. We'll let you know when it's officially the time or whatever. But they've been invited before. Now it's time to say, hey, will you accept? Will you come to the party? Well, it says in verse number 18, but they all began making excuses. Now, some of us can relate to this, can't we? Some of us in this room, we know what it's like to be invited. Some of you have been invited, don't raise your hands. You've been invited to something that maybe is a work extracurricular event or something with a church activity or maybe something with family or friends, circles or hobbyists. And you were invited to go to some event, the Penguin Plop, I don't know, some event. And you said, oh, sure, I'll do that. I'll go to that event, whatever it is. But then when the time came for it to actually happen, you're like, oh, man, why did I say I'd go to that event? Oh, man, I don't really want to go. I want to stay home and watch Netflix. I want to stay home and play video games. I want to go to sleep. I don't want to go to that event. So then you backed out at the last minute. Don't raise your hands if that's what you've done. Some of you are like, hey, he's clocking my tea right now, okay? So, hey, I'm just saying, they made excuses. They were invited. They knew they were invited. They knew they were friends. But now that it's time to go, they began to say, oh, is that today? Yeah. My schedule won't allow it. And so they gave excuses. Now there's three excuses mentioned in the story today. Are you ready? Three types of excuses that they were given. Let's look at them together. The first one is this. One said, I have just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Now, who buys a field without inspecting it first? Right? Like I must inspect it. You inspected it before you bought it, didn't you? Does he mean I want to buy it soon or I've bought it and I want to look at it again? I don't know, but he has an excuse. Please excuse me. Then there's another excuse. Verse 19, another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Dude, if you bought the oxen, you probably made sure they're healthy, non-dilapidated oxen. What do you mean try them out? What do you think they're going to do? They're oxen. This year's model of oxen plows the fields, you know? I mean, what in the world? But he's like, oh, I want to go check out my oxen here. Please excuse me. Then we see in verse number 20, another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Now, that might be the only legitimate excuse given. This person's like, you get married, okay, your husband, your wife does not want to go. You're like, I want to go to this event. And your spouse is like, I don't want to go. And you're like, well, I don't want to go without you. I guess we're not going. So maybe this is legit. Or there's rumor that in the original Greek, this is not a complete statement. It actually says, a man said, I just got married, therefore I can't come on time. That's what the original Greeks. Don't get mad at me. That's true now, okay? It's at 7:30, dear, not 7:30-ish, okay? We're starting right at punctually here. I'm just going to, protein bar, smile, it was a joke. Okay. I won't be on time now. Okay. They had excuses. Three types of excuses were given in today's story. What were they? Possessions, work, or career? Family. Possessions, I got a field, got property, got some things I'm excited about. Work, I got some oxen, gonna grow my business, make more money, build things going forward. Family. Are those bad things, anybody? Or are those good things? They're good things. I think they're all good things, right? Because I mean, all of us, we probably all have those things. Or we all would like to have those things. Nothing wrong with them, but in the story, they begin to say, these things are so consuming to me that I don't have any interest or passion or whatever to go to this other thing because I'm so into this thing that I have no room in my life or time for what you're asking for me as well. And so these good things became their only thing or their consuming thing. Verse 21, the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now, is that an interesting list? That's the list we saw last week, or we just reviewed a few minutes ago. That's the list we saw where Jesus told them earlier, hey, when you throw a party, don't just invite your family, friends, and rich neighbors. Invite the poor, crippled, blind, and lame. Same group. And what he's saying now is this. You need to understand that that's the kind of crowd that's going to be a part of the kingdom of God one day. And so you know what you should do? You should ask yourself, are people welcome around me that make up the kingdom of God, or do they have to qualify? Because this is a group that God is inviting into his kingdom. And if you don't like them now, we might not be comfortable. I don't know. Everyone's welcome. Verse 23, 2 and 22. After the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. Because people didn't all say yes. They have more. It was a great feast. We have more room still. Verse 23, so his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find, like the word anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. Anyone? You know what kind of people that are out there? You might get some sordid characters coming into that thing. Are you sure? Anyone. Yes, anyone. Invite them to come so that the house will be full. And then he adds this statement, verse 24. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. Now, there's some lessons here for us today. And I want to make the first primary one first. The first, obviously. And then we're going to make some other applications for us today. First thing I want to say is I think Jesus is saying, he's telling a group of people who believe that they were the best of God's chosen people. They were the Israelites. They were the Jew. It was a Jewish audience. They were religious leaders in Israel. And they believed that they were the insiders, that God's promises, and they had the scriptures, their scriptures to show the story from their first ancestors way back when, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the promises. And of course, you know, there's a reason they felt that way. And the scriptures, I always say the Hebrew scriptures are really the story of God's, you know, of a God building a nation to fulfill his promises. It's their story, it's a nation's story. But they can look at those scriptures and say, hey, we're the ones. And prejudice and racism, if I could say, had crept into their hearts where they were the insiders and other people were outsiders. Now, here's what I want you to understand about this. This is important. The prejudice that they felt is not unique to them, like they're the bad people 2,000 years ago or whatever. This happens to people everywhere. Not every person's this way, but in every race of people throughout history, there always creeps in the tendency of prejudice against others. Sometimes that prejudice is more frowned upon from some towards others than it is other, more accepted other ways, but it's always in the hearts of mankind. And we shouldn't have it for anybody. And these Jewish religious leaders shouldn't have had it, and we shouldn't have it towards them either, by the way. In fact, the Apostle Paul, real quick here, I was reading my Bible this week. I thought I'd try that for a change. I read my Bible this week, and it's in Romans chapter 11, and I was reading where Paul the Apostle basically reinforces this parable, where Paul the Apostle said that God came, and he said that, you know, his promises that he gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came to Israel to bring the Messiah, and they were the first at the forefront of the invitation to Christ when he showed up. But they rejected him. When it came time for that promise, when the servant, who is Jesus, showed up and says, the kingdom of God is here, they're like, ah. Right? And so what happens is, he says, now God has made sure that message goes to all the world, all people. But Paul says in Romans chapter 11, don't think that means that God is against Israel. That they're thinking they were the insiders and everyone else was on the outside, led to them complacently rejecting what came to them, and now the door's open for you. But don't think that means you should be prejudiced back. Anti-Semitism or whatever you want to say is never the right response. That never should we look at anybody and say, we're better than you or you're worse than us or anything. We should just simply say, God loves people, including me. But these people in the story, they thought they were God's people. They were the ones who were chosen, that the promise was to them and not to others. And so, Jesus is telling a story that says the people who think they're invited first are going to miss the party. Don't misread the parable's application. He's not saying that others, yeah, he didn't love people until he had to, because the first people he really loved rejected him. He's telling a story to people who felt that way, that they were the inside trackers. He's okay, let's say you are. What if you are the ones who think you're in first and you miss the whole party? What he's saying is it's for everybody, and the people who think they have a head start might miss the whole race. That was the point he was making to his nation. And by the way, they would largely reject him at that time. And they would largely see the gospel spread everywhere else. So that's our big takeaway from the story. And by the way, what do we do with that today? Well, we celebrate that the good news of Jesus Christ is for all the world, and it always was, but it's reached all of us, despite those who would gatekeep it from other people. It's for you and me today, and that's why we're here. But there's also application beyond that, because the Bible's not merely an academic book to study what happened one time and say, well, that's what that meant, but it's a living book. So what's the principles that we can take home with us today? Well, one idea is this, that Jesus is teaching that everyone has a chance and a choice, and I love that. People get really weird doctrine about this kind of stuff, like, you know, not everyone gets a chance and a choice, and or those who are invited have no choice but to accept. Really funny doctrine sometimes in Christian worlds. But in the story today, there were people who were invited to the party, and guess what happened to them? They said no. And Jesus is telling a story of saying, and you know what? When you say no, you'll miss the party. But guess what? A lot of other people that you thought should not be in are going to be in. This is a big idea that we must understand. God wants all of us, and we all have a chance and a choice. And I know when I say that about the gospel, there are those of us who think through these things, and we're like, well, Arlen, I don't know that everyone ever does get a chance and a choice. What about people who grew up in a place where they never heard the message? Maybe they're in some isolated part of the world, and they never heard it at all. They never had a chance or a choice to respond. Or what about people who were raised in a very Christian-dominated nation? They've heard the message of Jesus, but they heard conflicting versions of it. And those versions, you know, were confusing, so they didn't really have any clarity. They didn't really have a chance and a choice. Or they were raised in a place that had the truth about Jesus, but they faced spiritual abuse or something there, and it was so painful that they really didn't have a chance or a choice there either. Not everyone gets a chance or a choice. And I understand that all those questions about God's bigness and his grace, but I want to say this. I believe stories like this and throughout the scriptures remind me that God's grace is bigger than we limit it to be. That maybe it goes further in ways that we don't understand or mark and measure, and everyone does or will, and maybe even beyond the limits. We say, well, this is the limit. Maybe beyond the time we think is even allowable, everyone will clearly have a clear understanding at some point, now or whenever, that God loves them and wants a relationship with them and invites them in, and they have a chance and a choice. Depends. Yep. The heavens declare it. Psalm says it, Paul says it both. The whole world declares. So there's always something. They might not say I heard a four-part presentation in a church service, but there's a statement. But even if someone was raised to hear a better version, but what if they were in a bad version of it? I think that's where God's grace, whether it's through creation, like you said, or it's something even further than we dare say. I just think before it's all said and done, God's trying to get people in, not out. Good question, Kathy. Everyone has a chance and a choice. If that's true, though, here's the tension point. It means there might be outsiders, and the only outsiders are the ones that choose to not come in. The ones who literally said, thanks, but no thanks. C.S. Lewis, former atheist turned Christian who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia and so many other wonderful pieces of literature, he once made a statement. He says, I believe the gates of hell are locked from the inside. And whatever you think he's talking about there, we'll discuss that some other day. But bottom line, what he was saying is no one is kept out because they're not welcome. It's only those who say, I'm not interested, who miss out on the kingdom that God offers. That the only ones outside are the ones that choose to not come in. That's a beautiful story. But I want us to read through it one more time before we're done. It's a short parable. I want to read through it one more time, and I want to make some applications to you and me today, and then we'll be done. And I'm going to ask you to respond before we go home. Verse 16, let's read it again. Jesus is telling this parable to this room at this party before it's over. Maybe dessert's on the table. Maybe Bear Bell protein bars are on the table. They're getting ready to eat. And Jesus tells the story, verse 16. He says, a man prepared a great feast, and he sent out many invitations. Let me quickly say to all of you today, you've all been invited. God's invitation into relationship with him, to be a part of what he's doing, to be a part of his kingdom, it's there, and you have heard it. You're hearing it right now, and you've probably heard it many times before. The invitation is there. The question is, will you respond? And I know how tempting it is to sit there and say, oh, you know, I don't have time to care. I got a life to live. I got things I want to do. And just push that invitation aside. Put it on a magnet, put it on the fridge, and ignore it for now. But I'm going to encourage all of us today, if God is inviting you once again right now, and you're aware and you're hearing it again right now, please respond to the invitation of God today. So I'll do it some other day. How do we know what we have? How do we know what the future holds? We're not guaranteed anything. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed getting home today, quite honestly. I oftentimes say you could be the best driver in the world, but the next person might not be. Nothing's promised. If God is calling you to respond to his love, don't just say, I got other things to do, maybe later. Say yes. It's time. Respond to the invite. I want that for you. God's not going to change his mind, the invitation will be there later, but you might never hear it as clear as you are right now. You might never see the invitation glaring at you like you are right now. While the tug is there, is the time to respond, not just hoping you'll remember to feel passionate again about the idea some other day. Because life might get distracting and you might forget and never might come back to your heart the way it is right now. And if God is tugging on your heart, say yes to him. Now is the time to respond to the invitation. Verse 17 says, when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. Now, he sent his servant. Who's the servant? Well, I think in the original story, you could argue Jesus was the servant who came and said, the kingdom of God is here. Or you could say John the Baptizer was the one saying, it's at hand, here it is, it's ready. But I think that the story goes further than that. Because when Jesus was walking, doing the ministry on this earth, he called other people to leave their occupations and come and follow him. And what did he do? They were with him when he went into villages and towns, and while he healed people, and while he preached the good news of the kingdom of God. And then he told them, you guys go without me to other places two by two and do the same thing. You do the work, and you teach the message. And they joined him in the work. And then he died on the cross, as we're going to get to later. And he rose again on the third day. And then before he left for the last time, do you know what Jesus' final words were? His final words to his followers? He said, I want you all to go into all the world, and I want you to preach the good news everywhere. And he says, when people believe, I want you to baptize them. And then I want you to make disciples out of them. I want you to teach them to do what I taught you to do, which is what? To go into all the world. Preach the good news and baptize those who believe and make disciples out of them. That was the perpetual chain that Jesus set in motion before he left. And by the way, they listened. They listened. It's called the Great Commission. They did that. You know why? We know that? Because here we are 2,000 years later, all over the world today, gathering in Jesus' name. It worked. And that's why you've heard the invitation to God's love, because they followed the command to go spread the message, baptize the believers, and make disciples out of more people. That's why we've heard the invitation for ourselves. But he's calling us to then not just believe on him, but to follow him, that Jesus is more than our Savior. He's our Lord, and we are his servants. And we're called to jump in and invite others as well. So we are the servants by extension in the story as well today. Let's keep reading. Verse 18 says, but they all began making excuses. Can we be real? That's the hard part, isn't it? It's hard, hard, hard. Because many of us like, Arlen, I'd love to invite people to faith or even a church or anything. I just am afraid they're going to just not be interested, or they might not like me, think I'm weird or something. We're so afraid. I told you earlier, people who need the truth of God It's hard to have to climb over all of their fears and insecurities unless someone makes it easier for them. But if we're worried about not making it uncomfortable for me, we'll do nothing. Yes, people will make excuses. Yes, people will have other things that they care about. People aren't interested sometimes. But how many folks would respond if only someone said, you are welcome and you are invited? And if anyone should step into an uncomfortable space, it should be us who have found the love of God. Yes, there'll be, but when people make excuses, it's not personal. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. In fact, you're in good company. You're like, hey, God, that's how rejection feels. Cool, we're buddies, knuckles, Lord. And you just keep going, man. Because people need to know that they're invited. But people will make excuses. What kind of excuses did they make? Let's read the excuses again. Verse number 18 still. It says, one said, I had just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've bought 5 pairs of oxen. I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come on time. So anyhow, whatever. And so they made their excuses, okay? Now here's the deal. That happens. And by the way, what excuses do people have today? What excuses do we have to not respond to God's love? What responses do we have to not serve him? It's often the same things, right? Possessions, work, family, all good things. Good things, but they can become idolatrous to us if they become the only thing that we care about. Like, I have no interest in the God who made me, who gave me life, in my spiritual well-being, because all I care about is these other pursuits and pleasures that are good. And the answer is, why not both? Why not say, look, I'll plow my field later. I'm going to go to this banquet. I'm going to have this invitation now. I'll deal with the oxen later. Hey, I'll bring my family to the feast with me, right? I mean, here's the thing. It's not an either or. It's just saying I have the place for God in my life to follow him. But also, I have these things he's given to me by his grace, and one does not exclude the other. But boy, excuses are easy. And when we let good things in our lives become idols, they can crowd out all the else that's also important, and it becomes a tragedy. And so, it says in verse 21, the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious. And he said, by the way, who's the servant? We're the servant in this part of the story. This is a modern application. We're the servant now. He told his master that people made excuses, and the master was furious, and the master said, go. That word go is so important. Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. I want to say this. I know it's easy for some of us to want to invite the people we think belong. It's easy for us in our faith journey to say, you know what? That person would be great. They have money. That'd be a real help. That person over there, they have skills. They'd be a great addition. That person's photogenic. That person's cool. I like them. But who's the kind of people that we don't ever think about to be overlooked? Where's the marginalized in society that everyone's overlooking? And God says, when you go out and spread the message, go to the ones that no one else talks to and no one else invites and no one else goes to, and you invite them on in. After the servant, that's you and me, after the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. Oh my goodness, folks, there's still room for more. You know what that tells me? The work is never done. The work is never done. The work is never done. He said, my work's done. No, it's not. Hey, folks, if you're still here, God has you here still. Whatever he's used you to do in the past is great. He said, well, I've been a part of inviting others into his love, and I've done all these things. That's great, but don't have a greatest hits reel. If we're still here, we still have a purpose. We still have a job to do. He'll let us know when the time is up, and until then, there's still room for more. The job isn't done until the job is done. Verse 23, the master said, go, there's the word go again, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find, I love that phrase, urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. You're like, hold on now, not anyone you find, right? I'm sorry, you'll find some sordid individuals out there. I don't think you should invite them. I mean, he says, yeah, go into the alleys, he said earlier. Go into the alleys. Now he's saying behind the hedges. under every rock, in every ditch. I don't care. Hunt your lions. Go everywhere. Urge anyone you find. Anyone? Yes. See, sometimes what happens is this. We think, well, certain people aren't fit to be invited to the party until they mend their ways. But isn't that God's job? In fact, there's another parable that Jesus tells elsewhere where someone comes to a feast and the host of the feast says, hey, you're not prepared. There's a whole situation there. But that's his job. We're called to be his servants and just go urge anyone we find to come. You know, the problem happens in the church world is when Christians decide to play God and we decide to gatekeep who's welcome and who's not. Not you. Yikes, double yikes. No, instead of just saying, no, listen, come on in. Who? Anyone you find, urge them to come on in because God can sort the rest out. Let God sort out the rest. We just bring everyone we can and say, come on in to the love of God and he'll work on what needs work. Why? So that the house will be full. He likes a full house. That's his favorite show on Netflix. He likes a full house. He says, have mercy. Okay? I'm killing it today. So let me close with this. Obviously, we're invited to the party, but once we've accepted the invitation, we're called to not just sit back. We're called to be inviters. So here's the question for you and me today at the end of the story. Who should we invite to the party? Who? That's right. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Say, well, hold on now. No, don't gatekeep this thing. Just say yes. Say, well, Arlen, what's the party? Is the party the church? No, let me be clear. The party's not the church. The party is relationship with God. It's the gospel. It's faith. Okay? Be very clear about that. You can go to church and not receive faith in Christ. We all understand that. But I want to say this really quick as well. Some people will take that path and denigrate the church's role. So let me say two things for the church in the story. First of all, if someone does accept the invitation to God and to faith in him, part of their growing relationship with him will include the church because Jesus teaches us in his word that he wants us to get into community with each other, into gatherings or ecclesias, churches, whether that's a building or some other gathering, gathering with other people in our faith journey to encourage and strengthen each other and to have synergy in our efforts. So part of them saying yes to Christ will lead them to a church, for first of all. Second of all, for many of us, we're not sure how to invite someone to faith in Christ because we can tell our testimony, but we're not sure how to answer all of their hard theological questions. And inviting them to church might be a place they can come and hear a better presentation or clearer help or find more people around them to help walk them through the invitation to faith in Christ. So church is definitely a part of the story. I'd argue that church is not the party, but it's a microcosm of it. So let's apply it to the church before we go home for just a minute here. Who should we invite to this party? Who should we invite to this party? Yes. The answer is yes. No matter their race, no matter their gender, no matter their political affiliation, no matter their life that you agree with or don't agree with, no matter their sports allegiances, well, maybe not that. But no, yes, urge anyone you find to come in. Let God do the work, but we want everyone to be invited to the party. So the answer is, who should we invite? The answer is yes and more. You say, well, I've done that already. I got my greatest hits tape. Look, for some of us, we've served the Lord a long time. But don't become weary in doing good. As long as he has you and me here today, there's work to be done. There's more people that need to know the good news. You say, well, when am I finished? When we're home. Well, we're not home yet, children. Keep inviting. Yes and more. So I'm going to close with a statement and we'll be done. It's two sentences, real short, but this is our action step today. It goes like this. Come to the party and go invite others. Come to the party, go invite others. First of all, come to the party. Let me say this to you. If you have not yet received the invitation of God, if you've not yet received the invitation to relationship with him, if you've not responded to his good news, I ask you today to say yes to Christ. Don't say, well, I'll do it some other day. We don't know what the future holds. But today, while he's inviting you, while the invitation is being loud and clear, is it time to finally say yes? Here's the thing. God loves you. I love you. You're wanted. Please come to the party. Please accept his love. Accept his grace. In just a few minutes here, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll give you a chance together or to go talk to somebody else. And if someone can pray with you, but don't leave here today without saying yes to the invitation. Come to the party. And second of all, if you've already done that, if that's part of your journey already, answer the call of your Savior and Lord as we serve him to go invite others. I want to ask a really pointed question. Do not answer out loud. Just think in your heart. When's the last time you've ever invited anybody else to the good news of Jesus Christ? Or to church or anything? When's the last time? Have you ever? Have you never? Have you recently? Is it hard? I said earlier, people sometimes, it's hard to know where to start if no one makes it easy. It's our job to make the path easy. While others might make excuses, we pave the path so it's easy if they want. When's the last time you've invited somebody to faith? Or to a group of people to talk about faith? We need more servants who are willing to go invite others. So if you've not yet agreed to come yourself, come to the party. Otherwise, for all of us today, let's go invite others, because it's going to be a real good time. All the Bear Bell protein bars you could ever ask for, it's going to be great forever. No, but seriously, you are loved, and God wants you there. And he wants your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, everybody else you could possibly think of to come as well. Let's go invite others.